Blog Talk Radio.
Mind Shift Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Mind Shift Talk Radio. I'm your host, Stacey Emery, as always joined by my phenomenal and lovely co-host, Juanita Assistant Big Bones Warren, and you'll hear from her shortly. But thank you for tuning into Mind Shift Talk Radio. It is Mind Shift Monday. Always excited to be here. Always excited to have another mind-shifting conversation. For those of you that are regulars on Mind Shift, welcome back. And for those of you that are new to the show, welcome. This show is for you. It's for people just like you and I, regular, normal people that are looking to grow in every area of their lives. So whether you're looking to grow personally, professionally, financially, maybe you need help spiritually, this show is for you. So we encourage you to make sure that you're here every Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and we just have fun, healthy, mind-shifting conversations that help you to create that paradigm shift to create and reach new levels of success in your life. So welcome to the show. For those of you listening to the show live, feel free to join in the conversation tonight. Give us a call at area code 347-989-0206. Also, you can join us in the chat room. The chat room is now open. For those of you that are already our friends on Facebook, kudos to you. And for those of you that are not, you can still do that. Go to facebook.com/mindshifttalkradio. Go ahead and become our friend there. Also, if you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, you can go ahead and hit the follow link in your browser, the little orange follow tab, and that'll make sure that you're connected with us. You can stay updated, and you can make sure that you're here to find out what's going on with the show, anything new, any development. Just make sure you're staying plugged in and making sure you're staying connected to MindShift. So thank you to all of you that are tuning in, and kudos to all of you that are listening to the replay, because it shows that you're still diligent and committed about your own personal growth and development. So kudos to you. But without any further ado, I do want to go ahead and bring my other half out, my partner in success and my partner in crime, Juanita Sister Big Bones Warren. Happy MindShift Monday, sis.
Oh, what's the deal, Pickle? Happy MindShift Monday, Stacey.
Always excited to be here with you.
I'm glad to be here with you. Has your week gotten off to a great start?
It is. Today was a very productive day. It was a long day, but it was productive. It's great. Like, you know, we've talked about this on a couple of shows about being more organized and so forth. So I have my to-do list, and it just makes me feel like I'm accomplishing so much more when I'm crossing things off my list. So I felt very proud about myself. I was proud of me today.
Oh, good for you. Go to talk to Stacey.
And I don't know if it was just me, but I don't know. Did you feel the Mind Shift song? It was like a little different tonight, because I actually had to get up out of my seat, and I was up rocking and snapping when the whole Mind Shift was coming on. I was like, all right, it's a little hot tonight. You know, it just had a little extra something to it. You heard me? Uh-oh. I meant to mute. And I was on beat too, huh?
You were.
See, I told you I had it in me. But yeah, it was cool tonight. I was feeling a little bit more. That means it's going to be a good show tonight.
Indeed it is. Indeed it is.
Well, for those of you that may have missed the show last week, we'd like to go ahead and do a brief little recap. We'd like to do a quick recap of the previous week's show, and please note that you can always go back and check out the replay of the previous week's show at mindshifttalkradio.com. You would go ahead and hit the archives link. Actually, you probably still see last week's speaker on the front page. We had business coach, entrepreneur, extraordinaire, Mernice Oliver here, and the title of her message was Girl, Get Yourself Together. After what, girl, get yourself together. But, of course, the conversation applied to both men and women in terms of the information that she shared There were so many great takeaways. I don't know. What were your thoughts about the show, sis? What do you think about last week's show?
Right on time, right on point, just encouraging in terms mm-hmm. of me to get myself together. And just looking at what areas I need to get myself together in, and it's like all of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. You know, what's interesting about it is like, Bernice didn't really share anything that was rocket science or anything that we haven't heard from her before, but the way she put it together and the way it was articulated, it was just so much easier to comprehend, and that's what I enjoyed about the message. You know, she broke it down into, you know, get yourself together 101. It was the basics. It was easy for any person to understand, whether you're new to personal growth and development or whether you're a pro and you've been interested in this stuff and engaging in personal growth and development for 20-something years. It doesn't matter. Wherever you are, that conversation met you where you were at this time. So I encourage everyone to go back and check it out. I guarantee, no matter how many books you've read, how many of these shows you've listened to, how many seminars you've gone to, there will still be something that you can get from last week's show with Bernice Oliver. It was awesome. And I took notes, like a full page of notes. And you see they were organized and everything, but I took my full page of notes, and I actually shared it with a few people. I shared my notes with a few people, and, of course, I'm telling them to go back and listen to the show. But we know some people won't. Some of you guys are going to find other reasons not to go online and listen to the show. So I can't share my notes with everyone, but it was great. It was great. So I encourage you guys to go check that out. So we are going to get started with tonight's conversation. Tonight's show is a little bit shorter because it's just me and you. So, you know, we do a little bit shorter when it's just the two of us. But for those of you that may not have seen,
Nothing. I didn't say a thing.
I said, I don't know why.
You know, I know, not like we can't chat it up, right? But, you know, I'm trying to give us a little bit of a break when we don't have a guest to kind of get a little bit of a breather on those nights, and, you know, so it's all good. But for those of you that may not have seen the episode info, tonight I don't know if we're really going to go here. Bear with us tonight. Tonight is really one of those transparent, on-the-spot, freestyling, mind-shift shows. Now, the title talks about it's Women's History Month on Mindshift Talk Radio, and we're talking about having an open discussion about womanly wisdom and wit. Now, sis, you came up with this, and I'm really interested to see as the hour progresses where you're going to go with this. So I'm excited to hear where you're going to go with this, and I have my own thoughts about it as well. But as I said at the beginning of the show, we encourage you guys to call in if you have any thoughts, if you have any comments, any concerns about what we're discussing tonight. We're really just going to have a free format, open format, you know, and basically just share some stuff, share our own reflections and share some of our own experiences. So it's just a super transparent show tonight. So feel free to join in the conversation. Feel free to join in the chat room if you don't feel comfortable calling in. But sis, so tell me about the topic. What made you come up with the topic for tonight?
Well, it's Women's History Month. March is Women's History Month, and I just felt it was appropriate for us as women to share and talk about women and kind of what we've learned from women and as women and what we would say to other women. I just think it's a celebration and a conversation by women about women. But not only for women, but definitely for the men who love us.
I like it. And another reason I like it is because it's a different twist on the whole women's history, because I think most people would look at that and say, okay, Women's History Month, we're going to talk about all the accomplishments of the women. And, you know, it's not just going to be a historical conversation, but we're talking about things that apply to our lives today, you know, more current events. So I like that. Yeah.
That's
all right.
Yes.
Well, the floor
and
is yours.
Kind of a continuation of last week, if you will, especially in terms of, you know, get yourself together, get your life straight, you just do those things. So first, in terms of our conversation, since it's just you and I, I'll put you on the seat for
I didn't agree to any of that.
Yeah, just go with me here. Okay. What do you enjoy about being a woman? Not that you have the experience of being a man to compare it to.
Right. I'm glad you put that out there. Make sure people know. What do I enjoy about being a woman? Yeah, and yeah, that is an interesting question. Just like you said, I've never been a man before. But, you know, I was saying this the other day. I was saying that I'm so thankful that I was born a woman. There's different things, some not so profound. On a smaller scale, I love being feminine. I love being soft. I love being a nurturer. I love being able to be so versatile. I mean, let's just be honest, when it comes to wardrobe and fashion, you know, women, we just have a lot more to choose from. So I love that part about it. And I love my intuition. You know, I truly believe that women really have a special kind of connection to God. And I think that's why we are as strong as we are. And we're able to wear so many different hats in our relationships, in our families, in the workplace. We're able to juggle a lot more without losing our sanity. And I think that's due to the spiritual connection that we have with God. So I definitely enjoy that piece. I enjoy being a mother, you know. And there's just, I mean, there's so many different things I could say about being a woman, but I think the number one thing is that intuition and that intellect and that strength that comes from a woman.
You kind of bring a point that takes me to the woman's wit part is the whole thing, and God created man first, and then he could do better, and so he created woman. But to your point about just that special closeness to God, one of the things, or one of my favorite parts just about and how we were created is something that I think gets overlooked when we talk about the creation from a Christian perspective or Christian biblical perspective, is that, you know, woman was created for man, if you will. We always hear and kind of we're beat over the head about we're supposed to be a man's helpmate or helpmeet or Ezra Tenegro or whatever it's called, but that to a man. But it's like no one ever asked a question, so who did God or what did God create for the woman? And just for me, I think that we're to have him, that's who we're to go to, that's who we're to seek to be our helper and our helpmeet and to get things done is God. And I think that's why we just have a special bend towards him and the ability to oftentimes hear from him when others cannot, particularly our mates and our male counterparts. So that's an area I am most passionate about, just God's heart and passion towards women. Although I do have to stop and ask sometimes, like, really, God, was what Eve did that bad? Like, really?
Yeah, it was.
You must continue to punish us, like, and not just like every now and again, but monthly for years and years and years.
And I wonder what makes him let up when we get into that whole menopausal stage. Like, what makes, you know, I guess that's just a testament to his grace and his mercy. Because he's like, you know what? I've had them go through this long. I'm going to let up now. I'm going to ease up on you a little bit now.
I guess it kind of depends on who you ask with the hormonal changes and hot flashes or personal summers or private hills, whatever they call them. Like, it might depend on who you ask about let up. Maybe just change the torture a little bit.
Yeah. I would love to hear what your mom has to say about this.
Lord, please don't let her press the button that allows for the talk. Sure.
Mama Nita, I would love to hear from you. Okay.
I'll talk her up. But I think that's kind of one of the things I love about being a woman or enjoy is the ability to talk and share about such things, especially these days. I think years past, it was unladylike and uncouth to talk about such things. But I just enjoy the candidness that we can discuss, especially as that's one of my least things that I like about being a woman.
What?
that whole Aunt Flo.
Oh, the whole monthly rag.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay, so let me ask you this, because you said that this show was going to be for men and women, for the men that love women. So we're talking about this piece that can be uncomfortable for men. So what do you say to the men that are having a hard time still to this day understanding how to tend to the women in their lives and how to deal with them during that time? Because, of course, we all have different symptoms. We all have different behaviors. All hormones are not created equally, obviously, depending on the woman. So what's your advice to the men when dealing with women during that lovely time?
Ask. That's the best thing you can do. Because we're so different, just ask her. You can even ask her, so when? When can I kind of expect this? Because this kind of experience I gather and what I see is oftentimes, especially for people that have been together a long time, men kind of go through their own TMS-ish type.
Yes, they do.
You know, usually kind of along the same time frame. And so I would definitely say ask, you know, what can I do? What don't you want me to do? When is it regular? You know, when should I expect this? Is there warning? How do you know? Can you give me a heads up? Especially if she's one of those folks that we call like bitchy. If it's moody and want to be left alone, then to articulate that. But I would encourage him to ask.
To ask. And also, I think to be sensitive and considerate. You know, not just take it for granted, like, okay, this is the norm. You've been going through this since you were 11, 12, 13, whatever, and get over it. I think some men just kind of have this thing like, okay, you've been dealing with this forever, so just stop already. But I would say still be nurturing, still be considerate. I mean, it'll take you so much further if you could just kind of pamper a little bit if she's the pampering type, or if she's the type that likes service and just wants you to do things around the house to help out when her back is hurting or she's having cramps or something like that. Just to be attentive, that will take you so much further, because when Aunt Flo is gone, oh, it's on. For you married couples and you couple period, and you know what I'm saying, it's on at that point. She'll remember every good deed during that time. So that's just, you know, a quick note.
Well, word of advice. To the men's defense, women cannot allow that to be an excuse. You feeling bad is no reason to treat me like crap. That's just not. It's not an excuse. I don't care how long you've been dealing with this and the pain that you're in. If you're going to be unbearable and mean and rude and impolite and inconsiderate and all those negative things, then stay
away.
Well,
not even to that extreme. Not even to that extreme. Like for me personally, I don't get bitchy during that time. But I get very emotional. According to me.
Okay.
But no, even those that are around me would agree, I think. I get very emotional. So that's why I said, you know, in terms of being nurturing and being compassionate and being understanding, because it's like almost like being pregnant. Like, you haven't been there yet, so you haven't had to experience it yet, but wait till you do. Like, everything makes you cry. Wait till you do. Okay. You know, it's just things that just kind of, someone can say, I mean, and not just anyone. It could be someone in your life that's important to you. They say one thing about your hair or your shoes, and you break down crying, feeling like, oh, my gosh, you know. It's crazy, and I can't stand it. And even though I can feel my body going through these changes and I know what's going on with me, there's only so much control I have over it. But like you said, there is communication. So I do communicate what I'm feeling and what I'm going through. So it's like, okay, don't take this the wrong way when I'm crying and doing all that kind of stuff. It's not you. It's me right now. But just bear with me, you know?
Okay. So,
anywho,
okay.
Yeah.
So you asked me what would I say to men. What would you say to women, just in general, like to a younger version of you? I like Keto Hopper's letters to a young sister, letters to a young brother, to say to a younger version of you?
About what?
Life in general.
Mm. It is interesting. It is a process. And you don't have to live it all within a quick time frame. You don't have to determine a quick time frame to say, okay, my life is going to be lived up and I'm going to have all of these things accomplished within the next 10 years or so forth. I think the challenge that I had, just thinking back to my 20s, I've always been a very ambitious person. I've always been very competitive and I've been driven, and that's a good thing to a certain extent. But I also think that I put a lot of pressure on myself and I made a lot of wrong decisions trying to rush the process and trying to be in control of the process. And a lot of that has to do with just spiritual growth and development, or the lack thereof. I would say spiritual immaturity. Because as I continue to grow and mature spiritually, I was able to realize and see my flaws and my errors and see where I was able to let go. And you know, it's almost cliche, we say let go and let God, but truly, it's true. It makes sense. You do have to get to the point. And it's not something that can just happen overnight. I think it comes from experience. It comes from you falling on your face. It comes from you making mistakes, for you to finally loosen the reins a little bit and realize, this is not me. I'm not in control of all of this. You know, I wish I had someone there that could help me a little bit more, to be a little bit more spiritually grounded and understand the power and the strength that I had. It would have made a difference in terms of the amount of pressure I put on myself, because as I put that pressure on myself, I missed out on different opportunities. And then I was completely exhausted by the time I was like 25. You know, I was already beat down, you know. So I wish I had someone there to say, you know what, hold on, this is a part of the process. And it's funny because we can have these conversations, like you said, and talk to a younger version of ourselves. And you would say, okay, well, where were the women in your life, like your mom and so forth? But we have to keep in mind, you know, there's so many differences in terms of the mindset and when it comes to different generations. And I've said this before, with my mother coming from a very different place, you know, from Central America and growing up a very different environment, you know, in my mom's time, it was truly survival of the fittest. So there was this pressure, you know, to succeed and to get things done and to take care of business. My mother was an adult from the time she was a little girl. At 7, 8 years old, she already had a load of responsibility. And we talk about these mindsets and having these paradigm shifts. I looked at my mother and felt that I had to be the same way. I had to hurry up and take on all this responsibility. I had to ease the burden off my mom. Because my mom took care of her siblings, I felt like, okay, I can't be a burden. I need to hurry up and take care of myself. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't intentional on my mom's part. You know, my mom wanted to help me. I'm her baby, you know. But for me, just seeing what my mom went through and hearing the stories of what she went through, I felt like, okay, she's already done enough for so many other people. I have to hurry up and get out of this so she doesn't have to do that for me. You know, so, yeah. But anywho, what do you say, though? What would you say to the younger version of you?
Live, laugh, love, learn. Man of God.
Right.
That's what I would say with my alliteration of my L's. Just live life. I think, and enjoy it. I don't think I was in a rush to grow up, but I can remember when my mom was a single parent, having to keep my brother, and so you know, in my mind, I was raising him, and he was about like my child. And then I remember her getting married, and my dad made me take him almost everywhere I went, and that piece. But it's a little different from you. My mom, born and raised in Harlem, and was just real, you know, down to earth, and said whatever came to her mind, and was easy to talk to. Like, she made sure I knew the proper names for my body parts. And so, you know, at a young age, I could call them by their proper names while everybody else referring to them as, like, a pocketbook or purse or monkey or something like that. And she was intentional so that if anybody walked tempted me and said, you know, let me see your purse book, I wouldn't open it in my legs because that's what I was told that was.
Right.
So I always had her to talk to, but not necessarily always talk to her or listen. I think I would say, to a younger version of me, to have my self-esteem rooted in the right places, and grounded there. It's not because, you know, your family tells you you're cute and you're beautiful and you're pretty and all of that. That's your family. You expect them to say that. You know, now I'm older. I know everybody's family didn't tell them such things. But so when it came from my family, I didn't pay that any attention. But when it came from other people, I did more so. So I think just making sure my self-esteem was rooted in the right places. And I'd probably say to my younger self, exercise. Like, you want to stay this size right here. Just stop right there. Just stop right here. At some point, thick becomes fat. Just stop. Stop that.
Right. That baby weight is no longer baby weight. You know, like, oh, that's just a little baby weight on her.
Yeah. I'm still trying to get rid of my baby fat. From a kid, and the fact that I hadn't even had any children, so. Yeah.
That's what Marnie said that last week when she was like, you know, you say your child is 4, 10 years old or something, you still talking about this is still baby weight.
Right.
True. But just really quick, for those of you that are just tuning in, you're listening to Mind Shift Talk Radio with Stacey Emery and Juanita, Sister Big Bones Warren. And it's Women's History Month, and in terms of honoring Women's History Month, we decided to just have a heart-to-heart, a girl talk, per se. And, of course, it's for the men and the women, and it's for those men that just want to know more about what's going on in the women's heads in their lives, or, you know, maybe how they can do things a little bit differently. You know, it's just one of those heart-to-hearts. So we encourage you, if you have any questions, any comments, if you don't agree with something we're saying, feel free to call in. You can reach us at area code 347-989-0206. Also, make sure that you like us on Facebook at Mind Shift Talk Radio. And also, connect with us via Blog Talk Radio. Go ahead and hit the follow link in your browser and make sure you're connected to us every Monday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. So, I had one, sis, that I wanted to talk about, just kind of shifting a little bit. I know we've been talking more about the intellectual side, but you shifted just now when you talked about the weight thing. And I was thinking about something that I wish I had known. And we made light of it. We joked about this when I was probably in my mid-20s. A friend and I were sitting at lunchtime, and we were talking about relationships. And we were just talking about the ups and the downs of relationships and getting our hearts broken and so forth. Can understand that getting your heart broken is inevitable. But I asked her, what's one thing you would have done differently if you could? And she said, if I could have done anything differently, I would have saved myself longer. I would have held on to my virginity much longer. And, you know, we made a joke about it. We would call, you know, the guy's private parts the DK. And so she was like, the DK confuses you. You know, it just messes you up. It just throws off your whole way of thinking. And, you know, we cracked up about it, but in reality, I agree. You know, looking back now, I think it really, well, I know it did, affected so many of the decisions that I made. It impacted so many of the decisions I made, and I probably would have made some different decisions, and it makes you just wonder, okay, if I had done this differently, if I didn't get caught up in that, but I would say I would have definitely held on longer. What do you think?
I think in a slightly different take on that, or maybe somewhat similar, that I would say that coochie is not currency. That's what I would I would say to kind of any female, younger or older, that is not what you exchange in or with. My mom would tell me that a boy's I love you is not the same as a girl's I love you. And she would say that, you know, a girl's I love you is, yeah, I mean, I really care for you and fond of you, and I genuinely love you. And the guy's I love you is I want to sleep with you. And, you know, other folks would tell you that women give have sex for companionship, and men give companionship for sex. And that's not a rule of thumb, but you know, and generalizations aren't the most applicable, but kind of a lesson learned. And so that's what I would say. But I would also say, to that same token, is virginity has nothing to do with purity. And so often we think that, you know, because we lost our virginity or given our virginity away or had it swindled or stolen from us, that we're not pure or we can't be pure. And that has absolutely nothing to do with purity. And that you can still be a virgin and be impure and not be a virgin and be pure. So the kind of the side note is not to allow that to deter you or make you feel unclean or nasty, because the other token to that is how our society views women and sex varies greatly in terms of how they view men and sex. Where for men, it's an honor and a badge, and you're proud, like, you know, dude, you hadn't lost that yet. And women were kind of shunned and shamed for it. So, and I think that goes back to the whole, you know, self-esteem piece. I just know that your value has nothing per se to do with what's between your legs as much as it does between what's in your head.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
DK, huh?
Yes.
That DK,
that it confuses you.
Yeah.
Another aha moment that I had as an adult was the fact that your mother really does know what she's talking about. And as much as we hate to admit it as young people, they do. And we don't realize it until we get older and start to have more of these experiences. And we say, God, I remember when mom said this. For example, my mom, it used to drive me nuts. I couldn't stand it when she would always say, everybody's not your friend. You know, for me, from the time I was a kid, I was always like one of the most popular kids. I always had the big crew and the clique, and, you know, we just did our thing. I always was one of the most popular kids in school, and so for me, that was what it was about. And my mom would always say, you're calling all these people your friends, and you're going out of your way to do all this stuff, but these people are not your friends, and your friends are going to get you in trouble, and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, gosh, what is she talking about? Like, if she would just stop already, you know. And then now, as I get older, and I look at friendships and relationships differently because, again, experiences, you know, have been the best teacher. And I've learned to really nurture those relationships with individuals that truly are my friends, that have proven to be friends. And I've learned that some people really are just associates, and they don't deserve friend privileges. You know, or they take friend privileges for granted. And so you can't, you know, put your everything into that friendship basket when truly some of these people are only associates. So, you know, that's just one area that I've seen where my mom has been right. And there's been other areas. And it almost irks me to admit that she's right even to this day about certain things. But at the end of the day, our parents do know what they're talking about.
I would say, mirror, mirror on the wall, I am my mother after all.
Yes.
But to your point of friends, I can remember my mom saying I had a best friend growing up, and she would say, you know, you're a better friend to her than she'll ever be to you. And I, you know, I didn't understand that, and, you know, we were the best of friends, tied at the hips. Like, no. And,
You know, sure enough, when she thought I had compromised our friendship, and I had not, the friendship ended, and she never allowed me to share or, you know, explain. Her thought was that I had slept with her husband, and that was not the case, nor had I disclosed her indiscretions to her husband. He was like a sister to me, so he was like a brother to me. And so in our conversation was about, you have to understand this happened to her, and this is how she is, and, you know, just you know, words of wisdom with him. But, you know, when you're doing something, that's how your glasses are colored. So you think everyone's doing the same thing you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a friendship of many years that, you know, just kind of ended. So, yeah, she was right. But
so what was that thing you said about the mirror? Say that one more time.
All I am my mother after all.
Girl, now this is a big issue for me. On the mother note, I'm turning into my mom. Like, I mean, it blows my mind sometimes. Like, as I get older, I start to see more and more of my mom. And people would say this because, you know, I'm out of state, so all my family is back in California. So I go home only once or twice a year. And so, you know, when you don't see people for a long time, it's like, oh, my gosh, you've grown up and all this, you know, when you don't see them on a regular basis. And I would go home, and it's always like, you look more and more like your mom. You look just like your mom. And I'm like, no, I don't. No, I don't. And then it finally hit me last year. I walked past the mirror and saw my mom, and it freaked me out. And then I start to have these aches and pains and little things going on. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm turning into my mom. Or some of the things I say, especially when I'm dealing with my son and he gets out of line or something, I'm like, okay, mom would have said that. Mom would have done that. Oh, my gosh. You know, so it's so funny, but it's creepy at the same time that as you grow older, you see more and more of your parents in you. So that's a word to the young wise. Just know that it's coming. As much as you try to fight it, you can do everything in the world to fight it, but you are going to become your parent. Just real talk. Get over it. So that's that. And just like you, Juanita, you are a little version of your mom, whether you like to admit it or not. But you are. And I think we've lost Nita. Let's see. Oh, there she is.
Oh,
hey, Nita. There you are. I'm sorry. Didn't hear you. But, yeah, you are a little version of your mama.
Me, twice as much experience, because comes up, comes out for her. She is going to say it.
Mhm.
And then look at you like what? Yeah. Okay. So, talked about women and relationships and life in general. What about careers? Where do you think we are?
Now your line's breaking up a little bit.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. You were breaking up a little bit. I heard the career part.
Okay, where do you think we been as cold stand in terms of yourself individually?
Okay, that was still broken up, but I think you were asking me. You're better now. It's just I heard the career part and where you are. Were you asking me what I would say to someone else, or are you asking me what I've learned?
I was actually asking you both.
Okay. So what would I say to a young person about the career part? Well, you know, that goes back to the first piece I talked about in terms of the spiritual maturity and letting go of the reins a little bit. See, there's some people get confused, and they feel like in order to be ambitious, I have to be in control of everything. To be successful, I have to be in control. For me to see results, I have to make sure that the results are there, or I have to do what needs to be done. It's this I thing going on, especially when you're young and you're driven. And as I said, as you get older and you have certain experiences, you realize that it's not an I thing anymore. Like truly, you know, I consider myself to be a passenger in that vehicle called life.
you know, and Christ is my driver, you know, and I had to take that approach, because if I had not had that mind shift to see things that way, I would have probably been an emotional nutcase and a mental nutcase at this point in my life. I probably would have already had a nervous breakdown, because every time I hit a brick wall, came over some stumbling blocks, ran into some obstacles, if I had not had this mindset that I currently have, I would feel like a complete failure, you know, because if you put all the pressure on yourself and all the expectation is on you to succeed and you don't see a certain level of success or you don't reach a certain level of success, you feel like you're the failure. But when you realize that it's a part of the process, and that through this, as you're that passenger, you're going down this, you're, say, for example, life is this road. It's this country road. You're driving. Christ is driving. You're the passenger, and you're looking at things, and you guys are seeing some really ugly towns. You're seeing some pretty towns as you drive across this country. You're seeing so many different things. That's what our life is like. It's this journey, and we have our highs. We're driving through mountains at some point. Then we have our lows. We're driving through some valleys. At some point, we're driving near the beaches on Pacific Coast Highway. At other times, we're driving through the desert. We're in Palm Springs. There's going to be different phases. There's going to be different seasons. And we realize that we're not in control of this, so it takes this pressure off. It takes this burden off. And when I look at my career and where I am right now, it's interesting. I can honestly say that I'm at a point and I'm at a place where I need to be right now. I've had these desires in my heart to do certain things, and trust me, I'm still not where I want to be, ultimately where I would like to be. But I do believe that I'm in my purpose right now in this season. And I've had it on my heart to do certain things. I didn't know exactly how it was going to happen, but I learned to let go of the whole control piece and just really put my trust in God and continue to walk by faith and just wait. And it's interesting how things just started to manifest. And when I look at not only this career, but at my previous career and the one before that, and I've had umpteen million jobs, trust me when I tell you, but I realized that in every job and every season was where I needed to be at that time. I'm looking at how my previous career and the relationship that were built and developed and nurtured there are helping me in my current career. Like, I'm truly being fed by the relationships from my previous career in my current career as an insurance agent. You know, another thing is just, and I didn't see the correlation at that time. When I was in that previous job and I was, like, frustrated and just tired and just feeling like, you know, I was just in this box and I needed to get out of there, I would have to tell myself and calm down, even in prayer, and say, I'm at this place for a reason. And I may not necessarily understand what the reason is or why I'm here right now, but it's for a reason. And now I'm starting to see that reason. God is gradually showing me why I had to go through those experiences, why I had to deal with some of those crazy people, because it's some of those quote-unquote crazy people that I dealt with in the past that I'm able to help and bless now in my current role by advising them and being an advisor to them and supplying, you know, something that they need, you know, providing those resources that they need. So I see, before we continue, before I hear your side of that, I'm going to cut it short because I see that we're running out of time. So I'm going to go ahead and extend the show a little bit. So you can go ahead, sis, and share your reflection on that while I go ahead and extend the show for us a little bit.
Okay. I would say, in terms of just career and career path, to know yourself, to get to know yourself and what you like and what you don't like. In some ways, that's only through experiences, but also understanding how you're wired, the talent that you have, the gifts, your heart, your abilities, just how God has designed you uniquely, so that you're apt to go towards things that are more geared towards your personality, your fit, your bend. That would be kind of my suggestion. But to also understand, you know, and identify your priorities. Like, for me right now, I'm at a point where what matters to me now isn't necessarily what mattered to me before. I'm much more focused on, you know, those who love me and those that I love. And being closer to them and being able to do for them. And not physically closer. I've missed godchildren dedications because of work and anniversaries and weddings and baptisms and funerals because of work and being a workaholic. And I just no longer desire to be that anymore and do that. So for me, my I am working towards a career or employment that fits my needs and my lifestyle versus me having to work my needs and lifestyle around whatever job that is. And I want it to be something that I truly enjoy and can have fun at and with. So, yeah. I think knowing that there's a difference between work and a job and career and employment. I used to think I wanted a job, but I realized I just want a paycheck. but definitely life's too short not to do what you enjoy, not to do what you love, and to waste on work instead of investing it in something that you truly enjoy. I think they say if you do something you love, you'll never work a day in your life. Do something that you love and enjoy, that fills you and doesn't drain you and deplete you.
Yeah.
About money.
Ooh, I have stuff to say about that. Before I do that, for those of you just tuning in, you're listening to Mind Shift Talk Radio with Stacey Emery and Juanita Sister Bonk Warren. And in honor of Women's History Month, we just decided to have a heart-to-heart. Ladies are talking, you know, some girl talk tonight about our own reflections in terms of things we wish we had known, things we've experienced, things we've learned along the way. And also, we'll talk about the mistakes we've made along the way. So we thank you guys for tuning in tonight. But in terms of money, sis, you said, what are my thoughts about money or how to handle it?
What would you say to women about money?
Be responsible with it. Be responsible with it. I'm very thankful that one of my gifts is financial responsibility. And it truly has proven to be a blessing. I'm one of those individuals that had the goal, like I said, I just had all these big, hairy goals, as Mernice Oliver calls them, to be a millionaire by the time I was 30. I was to have my first million. And I always had these financial goals. And what I've realized as I've matured is that many times we make these goals for ourselves, not only financially, but we're talking about financially right now, but it really applies to any year of your life. A lot of the goals that we make for ourselves are based on our fears. And we have to be careful of that and really understand where these goals and these desires are coming from. But if you think about the goals that you have set for yourself, if you think about how much money you want to make, when you plan on being married, how many kids you want to have, the house that you want to live in, the type of life you want to live, a lot of the times it's based on fear of something else. And for me, I think the huge financial goals that I had as a younger person were based on the fear of living in poverty, based on the fear of living how my mother lived as a young person. My mother grew up in a very poor part of her country. And so one of her main goals, obviously, with coming to the States is to be able to provide more for her children, but give her children an opportunity to be able to have more so we wouldn't have to struggle like she did. So I felt like I had to make all this money. And it goes back to the control piece. This is something that God still deals with me on, but it was much worse as a younger person in terms of feeling like I was in control and had to handle everything. I felt like I had to make all this money to be able to provide for my family, especially for my mother. And I've learned over the course of the years that despite the large amounts that I had at times and the very small and frugal amounts I had at other times, God has always taught me how to be a good steward over everything he's given me. And I'm thankful for that because there were times when it got very hard for me financially. And because I was wise enough to handle the money that I did have, when I had more of it, I had some saved. You know, I did well with budgeting and so forth. So when I didn't have much, I still knew how to budget the little that I had. And I think a lot of that also comes from just from experience. Growing up with five sisters, you know, with a single mom, you kind of learn. Yeah, you learn that to work with a couple of dollars, you know, because you don't have that much to deal with in the first place. So that proved to be a blessing. But, you know, it hurts me when I listen to young people and I see young people just blow money off like it just grows on trees. And, like, you know, and it's one thing to believe, yes, you know, that you're not going to live in lack and to trust in God and believe that you're going to have more coming. That also takes some work on your part. You know, you talk about the faith part, but it also takes some work in terms of tithing and being responsible with what you have. And one of the best books that I've ever read was The Richest Man in Babylon. If you haven't read it, I would encourage everyone to read that book. But I would say it was truly an honor for me when one of my friends that I truly respect, and she makes beaucoup amounts of money now, very successful in her own role. And she said to me, Stacey, it's a trip to me that at that time I think she was making double what I was making in income. And she said, I'm making more than you make, probably double what you make, yet you have so much more to show for it than I do. And she was like, you know, I realize that I have my own strength, but there's some areas that I need to grow in, and I see that that's a gift of yours. If you could just teach me to do what you're doing, you know, and that meant so much to me to hear her say that. It truly was humbling for me to hear that, and I shared with her just my own experiences. I shared with her that book, and that book definitely opened up her eyes. I even shared it with some prayer partners, and I would say for you women right now, no matter where you are, if you have $10 to your name, if you have $100 or you have $1,000, it doesn't matter what you have, budget your money. Learn to be a good steward over what you have. Tithing is so important and so key. One of the best experiences I had at the last church that I was a member of, was one of our very first classes was about tithing, and it was something that I needed to. Growing up in different churches and having different experiences, I just didn't really understand it. But once I learned the importance of it, I'm able to go to Scripture and understand how important it is. I saw the difference in my life and how God just continued to bless me. So I would say for you guys, make sure that you're financially responsible. And if you don't know how to be financially responsible, reach out to others. Look at those people that are close to you that you see you're doing well with it. Ask for advice. Read that book, The Richest Man in Babylon. I can't stress that enough. And also, look to the Word of God. Look to Scripture. What does Scripture say about your finances and how to handle your money and so forth? That's one of your best resources of all. You know, just be responsible with what you have.
Agreed. Wow. I would say kind of to coin the title of a book, girl, get your credit straight. Get that right.
Yes, indeed.
Even back to just biblical references is your name. And your name precedes you, and you your name is your worth. Your name is your value, and that's tied to your credit. And really, your credit is just your ability to pay your bills on time. Are you a woman of your word and saying that, okay, I'm going to get this and I'm going to pay it on time? And are you a steward? You know, are you getting things that you can't afford or living beyond your means? You know, don't be coach bag rich but trash poor. A study, I think, in either Inc. or Black Enterprise. In our recent recession, Black women, our demographic was the only one whose spending habits did not decrease, and yet we were the poorest of any other male or female racial demographic. Our purses cost more than we had in savings. And
wow.
That's an issue. So, you know, definitely, you know, while you all about your money and you're going about your business and, you know, you dress to the nines, get your credit straight, get your credit right, and save money, put money in the bank. and, you know, aside, to the point of tithing, really that's the principle of giving. It, you know, it is, when they talk about the Lord loves a cheerful giver, it's about giving. And
yeah.
kind of like you were saying, Stacey, the more I give, the more I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been able to give. So I would definitely say, you know, just credit and money, get your money straight. As we're winding down, is what we have, like 5 minutes left?
Yeah.
What would be the one thing you want to impress upon any female listening or any man listening that loves a woman or has daughters? What would be the one thing?
The one thing I would say is every experience that you've had and every experience that you're going to have, everything that's led you to the point where you are in your life right now is not just for you. The experiences you've had are for you to be able to grow stronger spiritually, mentally, sometimes physically, emotionally, but it's also to put you in a position to strengthen your character, to help you to be a blessing to other people, to help you to minister to other people, to help you guide and encourage other people. So don't take your experiences, whether good or perceived as bad, for granted, because they're necessary. They're a necessary part of the process, and they're necessary to put you in position to fulfill your purpose in terms of how you're going to be able to bless someone else. So
good.
That would be my one.
I would say you are your sister's keeper, period. And it doesn't matter what color your sister is, just gender to gender, as female, you know, lift as you climb. Don't talk about the sister, the female, but build her up. Don't beat her down with your words, because you don't know that female story. And you should take your time. There's been some woman in your life that's been important, that's invested in you. You should take the time to pay it forward and do that to another woman or younger female, and even an older woman.
Definitely. I agree. And even like you said, just I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about while we're on the show, and I've been sitting here drinking my tea, and I have my favorite blanket, my chocolate blanket that I always talk about, the notorious favorite chocolate blanket. And one thing is to learn how to just find peace and contentment in the small things, despite all the chaos that may be going on around you, all the responsibility you have, and, you know, so much going on in your head sometimes. Find peace and contentment in the small things, you know, whether it's a cup of tea, whether it's just a breeze that hits your face, or it's a book that you enjoy reading, or just some time with those people that truly are your friends, or time with family, whatever it may be. Find those small things. Don't look for huge things to make you feel happy or to bring you joy or to make you feel special. Look for the small things that are already there right now, you know. But that was it, sis. I appreciate you coming up with this topic for tonight. It has been a great topic and a great conversation with you. I enjoyed it.
My pleasure. Thank you. Thank you for chatting with me.
Oh, no problem. I knew you were going to try to put me on the hot seat, but it wasn't too bad, so I can dig it. And thank you to all of you that have tuned in. Gosh, it seems like we have a caller in the queue, and we were so caught up in the conversation. We missed you. I'm sorry, whoever is in the queue that wanted to share something. But, you know, we definitely still want to hear from you. You can always go to mindshifttalkradio.com, hit the contact us link, shoot us an email, or you can go ahead and drop your comment or your line on Facebook, facebook.com/mindshifttalkradio. Thank you to all of you that have tuned in tonight. Thank you again to all of you that are listening to replay. Special thanks to my partner, Juanita Warren, for being here and having this great conversation. I encourage you guys to make sure that you're connected with us every Monday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, for another mind-shifting conversation on Mindshift Talk Radio. Make sure that you share the information with your friends and family members. As always, we wish you guys another phenomenal, blessed, and amazing mind-shifting week, and we hope to see you on the lines or see you in the chat room next week. You guys be blessed. Talk to you soon. Good night.
Be safe. Good night.
Mind Shift Radio.